Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Oh, my. Wow. What an insanely busy Friday we have here, everybody. We've got millions of pages of Epstein files and documents released. The government on the verge of a shutdown, and now Don Lemon in the lockup in Los Angeles. Don't bend over and pick up that soap, Donnie boy. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, the Friday edition of the show. And not only is it the Friday edition of the show, it is also open line Friday. That means you have an opportunity to call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about today. We do this every single Friday, and it's always a lot of fun. You never know what you folks, many of you have been waiting all week. I haven't talked about whatever you wanted to talk about, so you're chomping at the bit. So I want you to write down our telephone number. We will be going to your calls. You are the priority on Fridays. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So coming up, we're going to be checking in with Steve Gill, who is based in Nashville. Man, are they're messed up. Last I heard, they've got tens of thousands of people still without power. They've got a woke mayor. They hired some woke chick to run the power company, and she was more concerned about preserving the trees than the power lines. And now people have been they haven't had any power since, what, last Friday? So it's been 7 days. 7 days. Just a big mess in the Nashville area. Joe Messina will drop by from our radio station in Santa Clarita, California. That's Joe Messina. And coming up in a few moments, Newsmax contributor Luke Ball. But I want to start with Don Lemon, who was, in fact, taken into custody early this morning in connection with that, with the storming of the church, City's Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, a couple of Sundays ago. Now, this is going to be a huge story moving forward. And you're going to hear Don Lemon describe himself as a journalist, and his arrest is an attack on his freedom of press. So his constitutional rights, he's going to say, are being violated here. Well, understand, Don Lemon is not a journalist. He is a thug. And thugs go to jail. According to the Justice Department, and God bless Pam Bondi, I don't know who poured Red Bull in her Fruit Loops this morning, but man, where was this Justice Department? This is what I voted for. According to Pam Bondi, there have been at least four people arrested, including Trey Hearn, Gene Cruz, Georgia Fort, and Jamal Lundy. Now, these are all alleged journalists. And Bondi says they're going to be facing charges in connection to all of this. Turns out Lemon was actually in Los Angeles to cover the Grammy Awards, and he was at an event apparently when the feds swooped in and picked him up. Now, Don Lemon's attorney, Abby Lowell, has released a statement saying instead of investigating the federal agents who killed two peaceful Minnesota protesters, the Trump Justice Department is devoting its time, attention, and resources to this case. And that is the real indictment of wrongdoing in this case, this unprecedented attack on the First Amendment and transparent attempt to distract attention from the many crises facing this administration will not stand. Don will fight these charges vigorously and thoroughly in court. So that's all we have right now. We're waiting for the perp walk. We're waiting for the court appearance, which we understand could happen this morning. And if it does, we'll bring all of that information to you whenever it happens. Anyway, Lemon was arrested by the FBI and Homeland Security in Beverly Hills at around midnight. The details of the charges against the four are not immediately available. However, the Justice Department promised to pursue Lemon after he stormed that church. Now, you might recall, well, wait a second, Todd. We thought there was an issue with the federal magistrate judge. Yes, the judge had actually rejected a criminal complaint against Lemon or Lemon. But it doesn't matter because he's in jail now. And we will see how all this plays out. But I think this is going to be a great, great day for religious liberty in America. What say you? You want to see Don Lemon prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law? I know I do. This is what I voted for. And this guy's had it coming a long, long time. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, we do understand that at least one of the charges involves the FACE Act. That is the law they used against pro-lifers to arrest people for praying and singing songs outside of the abortion mills. So the left has been using this to target evangelical Christians and Roman Catholics for many years now. So it's nice to see that turnabout is fair play. Do unto them as they have done to you. I think that's in the book of Hezekiah or something. So anyway, we'll pay very close attention to this story. It is a great day in America now that Don Lemon is about to face justice. By the way, this is independent journalist Georgia Fort. She was also arrested, and she was live streaming when the agents actually showed up. Take a listen.
Do you want to wear my black boots?
You guys, I wanted to alert the public that agents are at my door right now. They're saying that they were able to go before a grand jury sometime, I guess, in the last 24 hours, and that they have a warrant for my arrest. I've talked to my attorney, and I'm being advised to go with them, I guess, down to Whipple. And my children are here. They're impacted by this. This is all stemming from the fact that I filmed a protest as a member of the media. We are supposed to have our constitutional right of the freedom to film, to be a member of the press. I don't feel like I have my First Amendment right as a member of the press, because now federal agents are at my door arresting me for filming the church protest a few weeks ago. Again, I don't have a long time here, you guys, but I wanted you to know, for me, agents are at my door right now. My attorney has spoken with them. I did send a relative outside to talk to them. They're showing some type of documentation, apparently, that they got an indictment from a grand jury. I knew that I was on a defendant's list. I did not publish it because it was under seal. And so we've done everything that we can to try and abide by, you know, the advice of our attorneys. But right now, you guys, I wanted you to know I'm going to have to hop off here and surrender to agents as a member of the press. I filmed the church protest a few weeks ago, and now I'm being arrested for that. It's hard to understand how we have constitutional rights when, you can just be arrested for being a member of the press. We've seen all these violations. All right, you guys, I gotta go. They're knocking.
Yep, she's coming right now.
Give me 1 second.
Oh, better answer that door. They'll knock it down. Wow. Here's the problem with Georgia Fort and people like her. You do not have a constitutional right to storm into a church and shut down the worship service. Now, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You see him all the time on Newsmax TV. He is the head honcho over at Compass Strategies, Inc., our good friend Luke Ball. Luke, good to have you with us today. And we normally see you on TV, so it's great hearing you on the radio.
Here I have a face for radio anyway, so it's great to join you, Tom.
Luke, man, there is so much going on. I don't know, again, we said this earlier, I don't know who put Red Bull on Pam Bondi's Fruit Loops this morning, but this is pretty impressive. This is what I voted for.
It's what I voted for as well. And as I was hearing that woman talk and basically complain to her online audience, I wondered if she had the same amount of sympathy for any journalists or individuals who were in the United States Capitol during the 2021 protest. And I wonder if they had the same type of standards that they would set for many conservative journalists who went into the Capitol just to film and record and do, as in Don Lemon's words, he put it, an act of journalism to make sure that they were documenting things that were happening. They would not do that to those protesters in the Capitol because they were conservatives or Republicans. They have one standard for themselves and another standard for these other people. And to have it just amazes me, too, how well-placed CNN is whenever something is going to happen against conservatives, whether it's storming a church or whether it's arresting Roger Stone. And even though Don Lemon is no longer with the organization or whatever his situation might be as an independent journalist, which is just a fancy D.C. word for unemployed, then I don't quite understand how he's so well-placed in all these different circumstances. It makes me think that he might have had inside knowledge, potentially. And the other last part of this is, indicted by a grand jury is far different than just being accused by one individual of something. If you have a group of people, a group of your peers that are pulled together and said, like, hey, this is the evidence, this is what we have been presented with, and these are the facts that we have before us, and they move forward on it, it means a whole lot more than just maybe one accusation of a political indictment coming down.
Yeah, very well said. And, you know, not only that, but where were all of these journalists? Where was PMS Now? Where was CNN when Andy Ngo was getting his skull beaten in, or Savannah Hernandez, or or Nick Shirley, Cam Higby? I mean, there's a long list of conservative journalists that have physically been attacked. They've been arrested. They've gotten death threats. I don't remember any breaking news coverage.
They were back in their newsrooms typing out chyrons that said fiery but mostly peaceful protests, like during the BLM riots back in 2020. They were the ones who were observing what was happening and then turning a blind eye to it and looking instead at the talking points that came down from their bosses. They don't want you to believe your lying eyes. We've had conservative journalists who were beaten the other day during the Minneapolis protest. That was not covered at all. I was trying to find that information for a television interview. I could only find it on social media from conservative journalists who are posting about it. I couldn't find it anywhere in the mainstream media. They don't want you to know about that stuff. You have the mayor out there and the governor who are trotting out trying to label this as a winter of love while people are getting beaten and bloodied in the streets. And then the moment that you have any sort of instance where the media narrative is contradicted, they'll point the cameras in the opposite direction and turn them to their journalists who are too busy trying to make themselves look good and pretend like they're in the middle of a conservative uprising or something like that. It's so vastly disgusting that whenever I am trying to even just prepare for, like, Newsmax interviews or television hits, I can't even go to these outlets to get information because they seem to purposely just leave out all the facts.
You know, I go back to Don Lemon's behavior. First of all, he was in on all of it. I mean, we've got the video evidence, but it was really, he wasn't even asking questions. He was lecturing, he was bullying, and quite frankly, harassing the pastor and the church members.
So that whole circumstance was a stark contrast between the parishioners who had a peace that passes all understanding countenance on their face, versus the agitators who had an anger that passes all logic on their face. The left is doing this chaos manufacturing on purpose. And the only way they're going to make Donald Trump's America look like it's in complete chaos and anarchy is if they create the chaos and anarchy themselves and then try to basically fall over and clutch their pearls whenever law and order is restored and whenever the federal government has to step in when the state has abdicated and enforce the law to keep people safe. So that juxtaposition there is not something that's going to carry well with the electorate or with the public. And so holding people accountable like this seems to be so shocking amongst the mainstream media because they're just not used to it. That term, an act of journalism, maybe it's been around before. I've never heard it. But that's some of the lamest excuses that I've ever heard of before, saying that, you know, when the founders put together the Constitution, they were thinking maybe someday a bunch of wackadoodles are going to storm a church, and so we better include active journalism in the Constitution. There's a reason that's not there. Don Lemon just made that up so he could sound some sort of, you know, philosophically accurate or correct and justified in the actions that he had storming a group of parishioners in the middle of prayer. That that contrast is something that needs to be played over and over again, because as you just said, Todd, they were in the faces of these churchgoers screaming at them, and the churchgoers in some instances were praying over them in return.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Luke, we're going to have to leave it there. And I know we're coming up. We're going to have a reaction from Pam Bondi. She's just speaking out. Also, Todd Blanche. Busy news day. And I know you've got a lot to do on the channel. We hope to see you on my show later tonight as well. We appreciate you coming on today.
Looking forward to it, Todd. I'll see you tonight.
All right. Luke Ball, everybody, from Newsmax, joining us here as we kick off the show. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Pam Bondi is speaking out. Todd Blanche over at Justice also weighing in. And your calls as well. Whatever you want to talk about today on Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss, and it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Jerry the Liberal. Jerry, what's going on?
Okay, Todd. Now, assuming that Lemon actually violated the law, and there's a question about that because it's, you got to intimidate, and I don't know if they were intimidating the people in there or obstructing. But, you know, for the sake of the argument, say that is. What happened? Okay. Well, the problem is that the Trump administration isn't going after people like Valentina Gomez, a woman who disrupted a pro-gay rights, gay-friendly church with a protest. Now, she did the exact same thing that these protesters in Minnesota did. So why isn't she being prosecuted by the Trump administration if interfering or obstructing a church is such a horrible thing?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know anything about that case. But if it is as you described, then, you know, she ought to face charges. I just have a big problem with you do not have a constitutional right to go in and disrupt a worship service. But, Jerry, I would say this. That when you look at the video, when you have women and children that are screaming and crying, when you have people that are in terror, that to me is that was nothing peaceful. That was meant to disrupt and terrorize people. That's what happened in that church.
Okay, I looked at the video. Now, one, I think it's counterproductive. I would not do a protest inside of a church. I think it's a bad idea. So it's not something I would favor. But I don't think that's what happened. I think the people who did the protests were excited, but I don't think they were threatening. I don't think they were, like, intimidating in their actions. Were they wrong to do it inside the church? Sure, but I don't think it's technically a violation of the law.
Well, we're going to find out because they've been charged with violating the FACE Act, which is what they used to take down the pro-lifers who prayed outside of those abortion clinics. So we'll see how it plays out. Jerry, thanks. Folks, Jerry says, yeah, didn't see anything wrong there. Didn't see a crime. What say you? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. This item from Memphis, Tennessee. We have two city council members Pearl Walker and Yolanda Cooper-Sutton. And they're making national news. Of course, many of you are aware that we have had a big snowstorm. We had four inches of snow, all right? And it pretty much shut down the entire city. Actually, we're still shut down. There is still snow on the, I mean, it's insane. You can't drive anywhere.
There's been no high schooler in school this week at all.
They may not be going back until February.
Yeah.
Maybe the second week in February. I don't know. It's bad out there. So anyway, these two city council gals, Pearl Walker and Yolanda Cooper-Sutton, now believe that the snowstorm is fake news. They say that the snow may have been artificial, man-made. They're telling us that the snow that you see is man-made. So what happened here? Councilwoman Cooper-Sutton posted a video showing her husband trying to melt a chunk of snow with a lighter. And she offers the commentary. It's not melting, and it stinks when you set it on fire. OMG, Jesus Cristo, what is happening? Then her colleague jumps in and says, WTW. So what does that mean, Dylan? I get the lingo. WTW.
I'll have to Google that, okay. Probably.
So we decided to see what was really falling, hitting the ground. It's not melting, and it stinks. The video is slow motion, showing a flame licking snow, but no water drips. And it's set to a dramatically slow song, The Tragedy of Ignorance. Oh, that's ironic. Councilwoman Walker said, this is man-made. She also posted a link to another Facebook video from Angela Sunshine Thacker. And it's Sunshine, and that's shine with a Y. Sunshine Thacker says that when she first picked up the snow, it was different, and that she would not use it to make a snow cream. She goes on to say, IDC, IDC, what y'all learned in science class in grade school, that stuff outside still ain't snow. She wondered why the snow was not dripping and why it was turning black. Well, maybe it's just self-identifying. Maybe it wants a reparations check. Sunshine Thacker does not make any solid claims about the snow in the video. This is from the Memphis Flyer. Other than to say it was trash and that people need to stop because this ain't right. Councilwoman Walker also jumped in and said she pushed back because people are saying, oh, this is conspiracy theory. What's going on here? I don't know. So there you have it. I would just say, just in general terms, probably if you're living in an urban area, if you're living in a city, you probably don't want to eat the snow. And if it's yellow snow, it's not limoncello. I just want you to be aware of that ahead of time. But I have no explanation for this, but they're saying that there's some sort of a vast conspiracy and that maybe, I don't know what, Elon Musk? You know, they don't like Elon, so maybe Elon made it snow. And you heard the councilwoman, it's not melting. Well, it could be because it's been below freezing, ma'am. Maybe that had something to do with it. Is that a new thing now, Dylan? Are people now they're out there saying that it's kind of like the chemtrails?
Yeah. Well, you know, there was this like conspiracy theory that guy in Texas like shot something in the clouds and like tornadoes spawned out of the earth. Like, if that's where they're going, then sure. But I would rather you just take accountability for not being prepared for this. And just pay attention to how cold it is. Maybe that's a factor. Yeah, it's not snow anymore because it's ice now.
Maybe if it was like black snow, I'd be worried.
Right. Yeah. And if it was man-made, they didn't do a good job. They only put 4 inches down. Come on. If you're gonna do it, bring the blizzard.
Somebody just texted, what do you mean you'd be worried if it was black snow? What does that mean? Are you not worried when it's white snow? No, I'm just saying black snow is typically called soot. which means something's on fire or a volcano has erupted. You're a racist, Darns. You're a racist. I'm just saying. All right, we got to move on. Pam Bondi, just moments ago, talking about Don Lemon.
Make no mistake, under President Trump's leadership and this administration, you have the right to worship freely and safely. And if I haven't been clear already, if you violate that sacred right, we are coming after you.
Woo! Come on, baby. I love this. I love this, Pam. This is the Pam Bondi that we've known. Where have you been, Pam? Where have you been? Oh, Todd Blanche was at the press conference, and you got to listen to what he had to say.
I have anything to share about that.
And to follow up on that, do you have a reaction to the arrest of Don Lemon overnight?
Do I have a reaction to what?
To Don Lemon's arrest overnight.
Do I have a reaction to it? I don't know what that means. What are you looking for me to do? Jump up and down? No, I don't have a reaction to it. I don't know that the charges are unsealed yet. I can't. I'm not going to comment on that.
How about, oh, happy day? And he doesn't have a reaction to it. No, we're waiting to see if there's going to be a perp walk, if we get the mugshot. And as Justice said, we do not have the charges have not been released yet. So as soon as that happens, we'll let you know more intel on that. By the way, our telephone number again, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Kathy Griffin, remember her? She is, oh my gosh, she used to be a really funny comedian. Then Trump got elected. She lost her ever-loving mind. And now she's the queen of the GOGs, the gals of girth, and she's lost it. Of course, she got canceled when she showed up with the severed head of Donald Trump. And now Kathy Griffin is suggesting that the radicals out there start identifying MAGA neighbors. Take a listen.
Those of you that are awake, that see what's going on, what do you think the solution is? I think the murder of Renee Good, the murder of Alex Preddy, putting children on planes and taking them to detention centers, which are really concentration camps. Call it what it is. They're concentration camps in the United States of America in 2026. So take that in. And I know you don't want to participate in something radical. I don't either. I wish I could just go on the road and do my funny stories about celebrities or making fun of politicians, but not even have to acknowledge this. But it is happening all around you. It's happening around you. I live in Los Angeles. It's happening at targeted places in Los Angeles. And I think it's time to talk to the neighbors in real life. It's time to talk to your neighbors, find out if they're MAGA or not. Sorry, but we have to know who's on our team. And start to plan. Is there a way we can do something as a community? When I hear from my followers in Minnesota, they describe a very sophisticated channel of a system of things that they do to help one another. And they use encrypted apps. And like I said, everyone has whistles and honks their horn, but they organize in small groups. And they have told me that they learned this from the George Floyd incident, because George Floyd was murdered 20 blocks away from these other murders, roughly. And so they said they learned a lot from that experience. So I'm just telling you guys, live your life, but be conscious of this. And if you're silent, you're complicit. Sorry, I know I'm being a judgy, but that's how I feel.
Oh, you are. You know what? You know what, Kathy Griffin? Shut up, woman. Go make me a sandwich. You know, the thing about Kathy Griffin is that she's a dangerous woman. You think she's just a lovable comedian. You can think whatever you want to about her. But people like her are very dangerous. And the reason why is what she said. I mean, you heard Kathy Griffin tell the radicals to start identifying who in the neighborhood is MAGA. Now, that's really not a reason to be worried, because the MAGA households typically will have an American flag out front. The lawn will be neatly manicured. The garbage can will be pulled to the curb on garbage day. You're not gonna find a lot of trash. You're gonna find a very well kept home, and inside that home, you were going to have a law-abiding gun owner who happens to have an arsenal. So you can identify the MAGA neighbors all you want to, Kathy Griffin, but I'm not sure you're going to like it when you guys decide to go dox and storm your MAGA neighbors, because they know how to protect their property. They know how to protect their families. Now, let me say something to all you MAGA people out there. You better have an arsenal, and you better know how to use your guns. You better know you have to stock up on the ammo. You got to do all of this stuff. Now, you're a peaceful protester, right? You're a happy camper. You're a happy warrior. But the reality is you always have to be ready when the mob shows up at your door. And we know that because of the signal chants in Minneapolis, where they were doxing people in real time. And that is dangerous. I remember years ago, I had just moved back to Memphis, and there was we had a district attorney here. She was a Republican, and she was tough on crime. We got word that a mob showed up at her house. She was not there, but her young children were. The mob shows up at her house in this very nice subdivision, and they're screaming and chanting. The kids are terrified. And then they literally started shooting giant fireworks on the rooftop of the house, hoping to catch the house on fire. That's the kind of people that we are dealing with. These are very nasty people. These are very evil people. And they want you dead. And that's what she's talking about here. Hakeem Jeffries talking to us. We got to put Christine Ohm on ice. Really? You're going to come out, Hakeem Jeffries, you're going to come out and you're going to call for the assassination of a cabinet member? So I'm glad that these folks are now playing hardball over the Justice Department, but this is a very dangerous world the Democrats have created. And keep in mind, this is all of the Democrats, right? The conservatives are not out there threatening people. And conservatives, hear me on this. You have a right to defend yourself, but you have to know the rules and the regulations. You've got to know them. If you're a gun owner, you've got to know what the regulations are in your towns, in your communities, in your counties, and in your state. That's on you as a gun owner. But this is very disturbing what's going down now. And Kathy Griffin, look, I'm glad these people are speaking up, because we need to know and we need to be prepared when they start hunting us down. Let's go to Keith in Florida. Hi, Keith. What say you?
Hey, Mr. Stearns. The thing, though, is with Florida and probably a lot of other places is the medical scene and boomers and us going in to get treated and stents in the hospital, in my opinion. I've been watching this stuff since 2016. I had a website sent to me that was originally some vulgar language, but it turned into Trump Watch, and it registered by GPS the house number, where it was on the map, a dot, how much the person donated to Trump, how many times it donated to Trump, and it showed up again in 2020 election. Now, I didn't see it in 2024, but they are tracking us. They know where we are, and you already see in Florida where this anesthesiologist and nurse got boomed. I try not to stay in fear, because all that is the absence of light and God. But if I went into the hospital or any medical thing, just like my food service, I would not piss off any people.
Well, look, I hear you on that, and the story you're talking about, Keith, and thank you for that call. We're going to take a quick break here. But the story you're talking about is Eric Martindale, who is a nurse in Florida. He has now been barred. His license has been suspended. And the reason why, he said that this registered nurse said he would no longer provide any sort of anesthesia to Republican patients. He wrote on his ex, "Healthcare is not contingent on political beliefs. We have zero tolerance for partisans who put politics above their ethical duty to treat patients with the respect and the dignity they deserve. Therefore, I will not perform anesthesia for any surgeries or procedures for MAGA. It is my right, it is my ethical oath, and I stand behind my education. I own all my businesses, so I can refuse anyone. Well, it turns out the Florida Attorney General said, no, you cannot. And now we understand that the state medical board has, or the Board of Nursing, has suspended his license, and he is not allowed to practice in the state of Florida. Now, there was also another person here. I know I got to take a break here. I got to get this in. Lexi Lawler, she's a nurse in Florida, and she got fired because of what she wrote. She was wishing for basically the death of Caroline Leavitt during childbirth. You wonder, ladies and gentlemen, you hate to let your mind wander, but you're thinking, okay, what if I, God forbid, I'm in the hospital, you know, is the nurse, is the doctor, are they Googling me? Are they checking up my social media? And if they don't like conservatives, is my life in danger at the hospital? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want to share some. We just got a statement in from the pastor of this church in St. Paul, Minnesota, City's Church, and it's just what a terrible thing. You cannot believe what those poor people had to go through. One of the ladies of the church, everybody at first thought it was like going to be a mass shooting, so people bolted, and one woman tripped and fell. She broke her arm. This mob actually stopped parents from going to the Sunday school rooms to get their children, retrieve their children. And then the protesters were screaming in the faces of the children, telling them their parents were Nazis and would burn forever in hell. It's so obscene what these people did. It's just not right. It's just simply not right. So anyway, I mean, I'm glad that these people have been arrested, but we need more of them. We really do. And Tyler O'Neill over at Daily Signal, they've been talking to the pastor, and they're just so very happy that they're going after these folks. I want to read this to you. This is from the pastor, the lead pastor at City's Church. We're grateful the Department of Justice acted swiftly to protect City's Church so we can continue to faithfully live out the church's mission to worship Jesus and make him known. That's from Jonathan Parnell, the lead pastor at City's Church. Well, they also need a really good church security team as well. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Stick around. Hour two coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
All right. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. I'm very, very happy to have you with us today. Our telephone number, open line Friday, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know what's really interesting here? Today is apparently going to be this national day of rage where people are going to be marching in the streets and protesting, and we're getting reports that students are walking out of class. And many of our taxpayer-funded schools have become these propaganda centers where the teachers are encouraging the kids to get out there, protest against Trump. And it's not a good situation. Not a good situation at all. So our good buddy Dan O'Donnell, a great talk radio host there in Wisconsin, got an exclusive story. Parents sending out emails concerned about the teachers at Whitman Middle School in Wauwatosa, Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. The parents say that their children were shown a video of Alex Preddy's death. He's the male nurse that that decided to interfere in an official police operation and got shot, killed. The kids were shown the video and then encouraged the kids to write to the mayor and Congress to show their outrage against ICE, one parent calling it flat-out indoctrination. What do you think about that, everybody? That's insane. Here's the letter the mom sent to Dan. Hello, Dan. My daughter is in whatever grade, they kind of blotted that out, at Whitman Middle School. She came home today to explain that her teachers, yes, more than one, have been bringing up the most recent shooting of the male nurse, encouraging her and all students to write to the mayor and Congress to show outrage against ICE, in other words, indoctrination. My daughter feels scared if she speaks on behalf of ICE or law enforcement. I'd like to put it out in a public forum, and I also will be contacting the school myself for a better understanding of what the goal is with these talks during a time that should be spent on her education. They even had shown the video of the incident, along with bringing up Renee Good. Now, that's the woman, the lesbian woman, who tried to make an ICE agent a hood ornament on her SUV. She got shot and killed. The mom goes on to say, I'd love to get as many folks to stand up against this in schools. For the record, I love the show and very much appreciate you. Sincerely. All right, well, Dan's got good listeners, just like our show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is quite the thing when you see the actual indoctrination that's happening inside those classrooms. Now, look, I got no problem if you say, let's say there's a current events class, and you're the teacher's wanting to talk about issues of the day. The fact of the matter is the teacher should not be taking any side. The teacher should be explaining what's going on in the world, not shoving propaganda down their throats. That's just unacceptable. So again, today, anti-ICE riots expected to erupt nationwide. Because Border Czar Tom Homan is actually doing his job. Let's take a listen.
The Border Czar Tom Homan continues to insist he's only just getting started when it comes to tackling the ongoing unrest in this great city. And, of course, the ongoing investigation into ridding the area of criminal illegal aliens.
I've been on the ground less than three full days. I got in here Monday. President of the United States called me Monday morning and asked me to deploy here. Got here Monday evening, and I'm staying so the problem's gone. But we've made a lot of progress in the last 3 days.
Hard-fought progress, but not without the cooperation of Minnesota's Attorney General Keith Ellison, who issued a statement saying, in part, I did not negotiate with Mr. Homan, come to any agreement, or offer any compromise on the goal of keeping Minnesotans safe. Now, those comments come as DHS Secretary Kristi Noem continues to enjoy very strong support from President Trump, even amid fierce vocal criticism from both city and state leaders here.
I would tell them to be leaders and to change their rhetoric, because it is encouraging the kind of violence that we see on their streets today. Their riots are attacking our officers, not just when they're doing their work, but even at night at their hotels. I would encourage the governor to work with us, the mayor to work with us, to get those dangerous criminals off their streets. That's all we want.
A request that has fallen flat with the city's mayor, Jacob Frey.
We are on the front lines of a very important battle, and it's important that we aren't silenced, that we aren't put down. This is not a time to bend our heads in despair or out of fear that we may be next, because if we do not speak up, if we do not step out, it will be your city that is next.
All right, there you go. Oh, by the way, Hillary, Bill's wife, Mrs. Bill Clinton, Hillary, is back in the headlines, and she's very upset at all of you MAGA people. She says that the events in Minneapolis show the moral rot in the heart of Trump's MAGA movement. So now you guys are rotting. This is the woman who described you originally as a basket of irredeemable deplorables. Hillary has long been critical, reading from the Fox News report here. Hillary has long been critical of the president's movement. In her essay, MAGA's War on Empathy, Clinton referenced recent confrontations in Minnesota. She argued those incidents show Trump supporters have abandoned traditional Christian values. What is this woman talking about? Clinton cited Bible passages to argue that Trump's movement and policies have strayed from Scripture. She said the savagery of many of the president's policies, including immigration enforcement, is a feature, not a bug. This is the woman, ladies and gentlemen, the woman who said that you people are beyond redemption, that if you are a supporter of Donald J. Trump, that you are beyond redemption. This is a woman, and I don't know what, if there's a vibe around Hillary, there's an aura. And for whatever reason, a lot of people who know her or who have been in her circle have found themselves to be suicided. By the way, this is a woman who covered up her husband's multiple infidelities. What does that tell you about Hillary Clinton? You got to go back to 2016. I wrote a book about this. I wrote two books about this. When Hillary said you could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables, right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. So this woman goes out there and she's accusing you guys of being all these things when in fact she is the one that is intolerant. Hillary writing the essay for The Atlantic, which is one of the worst publications in America. It is such a vile publication. And they hate you. They hate you, ladies and gentlemen. And this goes back to the very foundation of the MAGA movement and why Donald Trump, they've tried to destroy Donald Trump and they can't. The reason why they're trying is because they know that Trump is standing between you and them. And they want to take him out. We got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, don't forget about the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. That's tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage of all the big breaking news stories. You know, millions of people are tuning into Newsmax, watching us on cable, our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. So every night you're going to get great shows, great programming. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start, and let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax. It's real news for real people. All right, let's go to the phone lines on this Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. Let's start in Moorhead City, North Carolina. Stephen. Hi, Stephen. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, great show, as always. I find it hard to understand something when Hillary Clinton, the former president, although I suppose Bill was supposedly the president, but Hillary calls for, as I understand it, when you make a threat against the sitting president, is that not some sort of an illegal, you can't do that. I mean,
What threat did she make against Trump?
Well, she's calling for him to be eviscerated. I think that was her verbiage. And look, they tried to kill him several times. They winged him once and said, oh, he did that himself. He had somebody do that. I mean, really? I mean, how far will this person go?
Well, it's a good point. The Clintons are power hungry, and she is especially aggrieved because she thought she had done everything possible to steal that election in 2016. And I think it really shocked everybody when it turned out the American people stepped in and said, Hillary, yeah, you're not getting anywhere near the Oval Office again. We're not letting your husband anywhere near the Oval Office. So I think there's a lot of hatred and animosity there. Does that mean that, you know, she should be arrested? Only, I would say, if there is a clear and direct threat she is making against Donald Trump.
Well, that's the way I heard from her, from the verbiage that I heard, and maybe I didn't catch it right or something, but she said that he must be taken out. I believe those were her words.
Do you know when, when did that happen? When, was this a recent threat?
So maybe 2 hours ago.
Oh, okay. Well, I have not heard yeah, that threat.
I was shocked by it. I thought, wait a minute. If I were to do that, if I were to call, for instance, the Todd Stern Show and say, or Lars Larson, anybody for that matter, and say, oh, we got to get the president out of there, one way or the other. We got to get him out. Got to be done, one way or the other. That, to me, is a clear and present threat. And again, think about it. They've already, look, how many times have they tried to do it? And that's just, to me,
All right. So, look, Stephen, we're going to look into this. I have searched high and low. I can't find it. So we'll look for it. And if you have a link to the quote that she made, we'll certainly, take a look at it. So she was calling Donald Trump a danger to the world, but that was a couple of years back. So appreciate that call. Let's go to James in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, James. What's going on?
Hey, yeah, good to talk to you. Thanks for having me. First of all, I consider myself to be a good conservative Republican, Trump supporter, support DHS, Kristi Noem and Tom Homan. And I, of course, support them. But I'm just so sick of this whole Minneapolis thing because these mayors and these governors of these blue states and cities, for one thing, they won't let the local law enforcement work with ICE. That's a problem, okay? And I don't know how you feel about that, but I think it should be a joint effort.
Completely agree. And look, that's the way it is here in Memphis, by the way. So the National Guard, federal agents in town, and we've got just hundreds of them, and they're out there making these big arrests of the bad guys so the Memphis Police Department can do its job. And if they need help, Memphis police are there to lend a helping hand. But the situation up in Minneapolis is just absurd. You literally have these mobs, and let's get real, it's a rent-a-mob. This is all very well orchestrated, very well organized. They know where the ICE agents are. And when they've come under attack, the Minneapolis PD, the rank and file, have been told to stand down, James.
I know. And here's what I think should happen. Pull them out. Pull out all the ICE agents. Pull out Kristi Noem. Pull out Tom Homan. And let the inmates run the asylum because they don't want them there and their lives are in danger every day. And then have Trump cut off federal funding from all these blue states and cities. Because it is just a train wreck of what's going on there. And that's if they want the city so bad, let them have it. And then sooner or later, someone's going to be begging someone to come in there and help.
Yeah, James, I think you're right on that. And nobody's really stopped to think about this. The Memphis story is so important because this town is about 70% Democrat, James. 70% Democrat. Yours truly. I am a minority in this town on two counts. I'm a white guy. I'm a Republican. So it is a majority minority city, and it's the largest majority minority city in the country, and it is 70% Democrat. So James, you would think, based upon those numbers, the stats I just shared with you, that there would be riots in the street, that people would be fighting against ICE. But that's not happening. It's none of that is happening. Instead, you've got a lot of folks in these crime-ridden neighborhoods, black homeowners coming out and thanking the National Guard, thanking ICE agents. Because you know why, James? Because they want to be able to let their kids go down to the local park without having to put on a Kevlar vest. They want to be able to go grocery shopping without getting carjacked. They want to be able to go outside and take a lovely stroll with the missus without getting worried about getting shot in a drive-by shooting. So this is, people are grateful, and they are the silent majority. You're not going to see them out there marching in the street supporting Donald Trump, James, but they are out there, and they do support what this president is doing, because we all know just how bad it really is here. I'll give you the last word, 20 seconds.
Well, like I said, you know, I'm a huge Trump supporter. I love what he's trying to do. Trying to clean up Biden's mess for 4 years of open borders. And it just, something needs to be done, because I just feel, my heart just goes out to the ICE agents right now. People trying to run them over and kick them and fight them and punch them. And
it's disgusting.
On them and
yeah, just, it's disgusting.
Like that whole Alex Peretti thing was just such a, they tried to cover that up so bad to make him sound like he was such a good guy. Because he was a nurse or something, and that's just not true.
No, he's a thug. He was a thug. All right, James, I got to run. Great call. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. Hey, during the break, I want you to do something. Head over and get yourself an America 250 gift, a copy of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You can get a copy at our store at toddstearns.com. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Lindsey Graham is on a tear. So these yahoos, Lindsey Graham and a bunch of other Republican senators, were trying to sneak through a scheme. Remember Operation, Arctic Frost, where they were spying on the cell phones of all these senators and regular folks? So the Senate decided, you know what, we're gonna give ourselves the right to sue and claim more than $500,000 each in taxpayer money. But regular folks, you're not going to be able to do that. It's just members of the Senate. And fortunately, Congressman John Rose, who's a Republican out of Tennessee, has been fighting this tooth and nail. And I say, good for you. Good for you, Congressman, because I'm sick and tired of all of these rhino Republicans, including Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, taking advantage of the good-natured taxpayers of America. Anyway, just moments ago, Lindsey Graham had this to say on the floor of the Senate. All right, we'll get that in just a moment. But anyway, he is riled up, Lindsey Graham is. Mr. Speaker, Speaker Johnson, I won't forget this. You have crossed me, sir. You jammed me. That's what he said. Lindsey Graham from South Carolina on the floor of the Senate. You jammed me. I don't think he did. I don't think Speaker Johnson swings that way, sir. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Joe Messina joining us from California. Hey, Joe.
You missed your calling, Todd. You should have been an impersonator. That'd be great. That was very well done.
He kind of reminds... who was the center square on Hollywood's... You know who I'm talking about.
Somebody, Paul Lynde.
Paul Lynde, yes.
Yeah, not so sure you wouldn't be... Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
No, but that's exactly who he reminds me of, Lindsey Graham,
yep.
With a southern accent. He's Paul Lynde with... Or Liberace with a southern accent.
Oh, God, there you go.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying. You jammed me.
Hey, that was great.
Wow.
You know what? I would love to have some... it seems like... We're getting less and less Republicans in Congress, if you know what I mean.
You know, it's, again, the idea, by the way, the government's going to shut down at midnight. That's unless something happens. But Graham is holding things up, and we'll see how all this plays out. But we are looking at a partial shutdown of the government coming up later on this evening.
Yeah, even if they approved it, my understanding, and I hadn't been through the whole thing yet, but my understanding was you're really only getting 2 or 3 days out of it. We don't have many federal workers working over the weekend anyhow. Like, it's, this is a big deal. And that was so they could go back and look at the, you know, DHS, DOJ, all the funding mechanisms that they want to get rid of. And they want to get rid of, you and I both know, ultimately they want to get rid of ICE. They don't want to just defund it or pare it down. They want to get rid of it. And we need to stand strong. Just stand strong.
Joe, I'm curious about the gubernatorial race there. I saw a poll just the other day. Is this true? The top two vote getters would be Republicans.
Yeah, don't get too excited yet. But we have what's called a guerrilla primary, right? It's the top two vote getters. And it doesn't matter whether Republican, Democrat. We've had points before. We had two Republicans at the top or two Democrats at the top. It was a dumb thing for us to do. But you're right. I was also surprised with that. But part of that, frankly and honestly, is what do we have now? 12, 13, 14 people running for governor here in California. So they're gonna spread the pool of votes. And I think you could very much end up with two Republican choices.
Mm. How, so it's really that bad in California that even the voters are starting to figure it out.
Well, they did a poll back about 2 months ago, and it showed that California voters would seriously consider a Republican governor. But part of that poll was they saw the legislature as being a checkpoint. Really? Are they what legislature are they looking at? Because it isn't ours.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. By the way, tonight or sometime today in Los Angeles, we're expecting Don Lemon to be arraigned. What are you hearing? Is this going to be like an OJ-sized media scrum that we're going to be looking at?
Yeah, because you have to remember that the media here in Los Angeles, not just Los Angeles, the media here in California is falling over left. They're not just left-leaning. They're falling. There are so many things that they hide from us. So I think they're going to be looking at him. You saw that CNN backed him. And so you're going to see a lot of this left-leaning media come to his rescue and say he's just a journalist doing his job. And you and I both know that that's private. Even though it's a church, it's private property. When the owner asked you to leave the premises, he was supposed to at that point in time go. And he knows that too.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, it's the videos. For me, it seemed, and this was a grand jury that handed down the indictments here. It just seems to me that the videos before the incident and afterwards, that is really what you need to file those charges, because you have the intent and then they're bragging about it, boasting about what they did after the fact.
Yeah. You know, Todd, what really concerns me, though, is what I don't think many people are thinking about is the judges in these cases, the judges who were appointed by Obama and Biden. And you've seen cases where they've dropped the charges. You've seen cases where they've, you know, reversed the decisions of the jury. And that's really what I'm concerned about. And, you know, Don Lemon can go ahead and plead his case. And remember, we're heavy Democrat. We're heavy liberal in California.
Well, that is a fair point. So we'll see how all that plays out over the next little while. We're hoping that the indictment is uncovered, and we'll be able to see that sometime later today. Joe Messina is with us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Joe, I want to go to Virginia, and the Democrats are having buyer's remorse now. You know, they got rid of all the Republicans, and now the Democrats control everything there, including the governor's mansion. And apparently, Democrats have greenlit a 200% increase on electricity. Let's take a listen to Cut 3.
I just got my energy bill for the month. Dominion Energy out of Virginia. My bill has tripled. Like, I usually pay about $200, you know, on a regular, $300 on a high note. $621. That's more than my car payment. What the actual hell is going on?
Yeah, well, you elected a Democrat, moron. I mean, I'm sorry. What do you want me to say? Joe, what say you?
You know what? These are the same people that elected Obama twice. Let's start off there as a foundation. But you're right. They don't pay attention. They don't listen to what's going on. They don't listen before they, you know, elect these people. And she talked about what she was going to do. People knew what she was going to be like. And now, what was it? I think 30, she did 30 executive orders now and some legislation. And every one of them has to do with raising taxes. What did you expect? Virginia, I mean, California should call Virginia mini-me because they're doing exactly what they're doing out here in California. Todd, they're going for a mileage tax now here in California.
Wait, what?
And it looks like it's going to go through. It's called a mileage tax. So they're going to charge you for every mile you drive over a certain amount of miles because, now think about this. I don't know. I barely made it out of high school, so They're pushing the EV cars, right? And now people, I think 5% of the cars in California, 6% are now EV cars. So what are they not buying? Well, they're not buying gas. So they lost all this money in gas taxes. We already have the highest gas taxes. So now the legislator says, well, we need more money to maintain the roads. Well, it'd be nice if they maintain the roads now, but they need more money to maintain the roads because these electric vehicles are driving along the roads, but they're not paying any road tax, so to speak. So now they figure we're going to go for a mileage tax to help make up for it.
So my understanding, is this true that they're going to try to, my question would be, okay, well, how do you track people? But I guess with all the computers in the cars now, that's sort of easier to do than you might think. But they may be using things like GPS or odometer readings or things like that.
And maybe even, you know, some of the businesses who have to report mileage. But, you know, think about all the ways that they track us doing things. I mean, seriously. Now, I think, I don't know if it went through the full legislature, but I think at a federal level, they're approving a bill that would allow police to shut your car off while you're driving.
What?
So
unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, just moments ago, the California Republican Party blasted the bill that would, again, create this new mileage-based tax that you mentioned. The Assembly Leader, Heath Flora, says it would punish everyday commuters. He said Californians are already getting crushed by the cost of food, housing, power, and gas. It just seems to me that the Republicans ought to be just slamming that message home in every, I don't care if you're running for dog catcher, is that these Democrats are taxing the hell out of you, and we're the people that can put a stop to it.
You know, it's funny you should say that, but we are, the legislature, Republicans here, are a microcosm of D.C., where they spend more time fighting each other as to what to fight about at the legislative level than they do, you know, pushing, getting together, and pushing these against these bills. And that's really what we need. They need to come together and really focus on one thing at a time, because we can't seem to chew bubblegum and walk here in L.A.,
It's crazy. So my understanding is the report that they're looking at would charge travelers, motorists, what, 6 to 9 cents per mile?
God bless America.
I mean, that's just crazy. So
it is. And it won't stop there. There's always caveats. There's always these little bombs put in these bills. Truly, you know, our electric bills went up here, too. My electric bill, coming into the summertime, it triples. And part of that is because they have this little line item on your bill. It's the natural gas delivery fee. So these power plants run off of natural gas because apparently we can't have the water. The dams aren't working right, so we can't use water or anything like that. Anyway, bottom line with it is it triples. He's trying to do away with natural gas, Newsom is. He wants us all to go to electric. Well, how are you going to get rid of natural gas when the generators run on natural gas? You don't want to go all electric. I can't drink enough to understand that.
If you want to really understand the entire oil industry and how ludicrous all of these the tree huggers are, you got to watch that TV series on Paramount, Landman.
It's fantastic.
I mean, it explains everything. All right, Messina, where can people go if they want to get more intel on you?
Just go to JoeMessina.com, JoeMessina.com. It gives you stations, times, and you can actually listen online, too.
All right. Joe Messina. Man, good hearing from you.
You, too. God bless, Tom.
All right. God bless. All right. There you go. That's, in all seriousness, That's what the Republicans need to be doing. Every single one of these blue states where they're taxing you up and out the wazoo, you need to be out there pounding that message home. And I the only people I feel bad for are the Republicans in Virginia. You Democrats, you got what you voted for. All right, our good buddy John Rich is raising Cain right now. He is so upset. There is, they don't have power in Middle Tennessee, in the Nashville area. Tens of thousands of people without power. The people who run the electric company are all woke, and they decided to take care of the trees before they took care of the power lines. So anyway, John Rich is really frustrated. And he decided he was going to write himself a new song and send it over to us. So, ladies and gentlemen, debuting John Rich's new song here on the Todd Stern Show.
20 years ago, a rich fat man from Tennessee told the world the ice caps would all melt into the sea. And gasoline and diesel would be the end of you and me. Now the fat man burns $100 bills, laughing while we freeze. Hey, Al Gore, are you still sure the planet's burning up? 'Cause everywhere I go, it's awfully cold and the pipes are freezing shut. And in my house, when I lay down, I can almost see my breath. Yeah, global warming is freezing us to death. Al and all his experts had to save us from ourselves. So they made us drive electric cars and put windmills everywhere. Well, I guess they did too good a job, 'cause just look around my town. 'Cause the ice is piling up and now the trees are falling down. Hey, Al Gore, are you still sure the planet's burning up? Everywhere I go, it's awfully cold and the pipes are freezing shut. And in my house, when I lay down, I can almost see my breath. Global warming is freezing us to death. Yes, global warming is freezing us to death.
All right, one of our great listeners in Missouri sent me this little item. This is Dateline, Jefferson City, Missouri. That is the capital of the state of Missouri. A new bill would require all public school students to participate in at least 60 minutes of physical education or moderate physical activity every day. Missouri State Representative Bishop Davidson, a Republican from Republic, Missouri, introduced House Bill 2748, which would increase physical education requirements for K through 12 students nationwide. The bill would also allow for modified physical education plans for kids with disabilities. Schools could meet the daily 60-minute requirement through a combo platter of PE classes, recess, or other district-approved physical activities and instructions, as long as everything is supervised by school personnel. Also, let's see, scrolling down here. Oh, here we go. A 2015 study found that longer physical education periods can offer benefits like increased opportunities for sustained activity and time for instructional rules, techniques, and movement. What the hell? What is this? No, the problem is we got too many fat kids running around. Kids sitting there playing their video games. They have muscular thumbs, but that's it. Dylan, did you guys have PE when you were in school?
Yeah, we did. I loved dodgeball. That was pretty much the only part of PE I liked, actually.
That's all you need. That's the only game you need.
Yeah.
Check out your aggression.
Of course. You pelt the bully in the face with a rubber ball. Of course.
Mm-hmm. I love that. They did volleyball.
Volleyball. We had recess too. I mean, recess, we'd play full on tackle football. So, but we were allowed to do that.
You know, we had to do it at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School.
What is that?
We had to climb a rope.
Oh.
Like there was a dangling rope in the gym. We had to climb up the rope.
Bring that back. Bring back the climbing rope.
I don't recall there being any pads on the gym floor.
Oh, no.
Maybe that was just me. Anyway, I like this idea a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about this? Bringing back mandatory physical education. You know, as long as they throw in a couple of sticks of deodorant, I'm good with it. Otherwise, nobody wants to be downwind of that. Nobody. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. Remember tetherball? Anybody remember tetherball? I don't even know if they do that anymore. We'll be right back, everybody. Hour 3 coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was trying to figure this out one day. I had nothing else to do, and it was a nice, quiet weekend. And sort of like almost what this weekend could be, I've got the last chapter of the book I am writing, and then the entire project is turned in, and I'm good to go. But anyway, I've had a lot of free time, so I was sitting back, kicking back, and I wonder, what is there a modern day, is there really a modern day equivalent to what it was like to live under, say, Nazi rule in Germany? You know, a lot of people, oh, he's a Nazi, that one, or, you know, he's a Hitler, but they're really not, right? They're just kind of throwing it around. But is there really something, and is there a place that we could point to and say, you know what? Yeah, that's kind of what it was like living in Nazi Germany. And I think I figured it out, Dylan. It's a homeowners association.
Mm.
If you're in one of those gated communities and you've got a homeowners association, I think that's the closest you're going to be in America to what it was like to live in Nazi Germany.
That's a fair analysis, Todd.
You know, they're going around with, you know, measuring your grass to make sure it's at a certain level, make sure there's no paint chips. And in Nashville, there's a poor family. This is a terrible story. So nobody's got power, and this poor family was told they could not use their generator during the ice storm blackout. So it's below freezing, and the homeowners association comes in, these little Gestapo-like jackbooted thugs, and they say, no generator for you. Take a listen.
From running the faucets to pulling out every candle in the house, Talia Caravello is doing everything she can to get through this ice storm.
Even sleeping at night, it's still tough, no matter the layers.
So she pushed the blankets aside and drove around until they found this generator available in Spring Hill, spending around $1,500 for it, plus extension cords and space heaters.
It was literally right there with the wires going through.
But Talia says just hours after they got everything ready inside and fired it up, she got an email from their HOA management company, Metropolitan Properties.
Please remove it immediately.
Talia couldn't believe they were threatening to fine her, saying the generator was a fire hazard and doesn't fit their aesthetic.
Super angry, because why is that even a possibility right now? Why do they care so much when people are just trying to stay warm and survive?
I've been reaching out to the property management company all day long, and they finally agreed to give Talia a one-time exemption so she can use that generator until the power comes back on. That's a big change from the letter sent to Talia that simply thanked her for helping to keep the South View on Second Townhomes an attractive and desirable place to live.
It's super weird and upsetting, because we need it. And obviously anyone wants to have power. I'd much rather get electricity back than have to use that forever.
Just wanting this winter storm to finally end.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the aesthetic. Forget the hypothermia. Forget about frostbite. It's all about the aesthetic. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good buddy, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, Steve Gill. Steve, have they lost their ever-loving minds?
You know, that again, just typifies the problems we've had from the beginning of this whole ice storm episode in Nashville and Mississippi and beyond. when you have woke leaders making bad decisions, whether it's the HOA, whether it's the mayor of Nashville, whether it's the head of NES, who, as we reported in a story at TriStarDaily.com, wanting to save the trees at the expense of people's lives because we have to preserve the canopy and not trim trees off the power lines, which then collapse the power lines and put people out of power. People in Nashville, in certain areas, are being told it's going to be till the middle or late next week till they can expect a resumption of power. If then, and yet you have the media that keeps reporting there's 80,000 homes without power, 80,000 people. There's usually three or four people per resident. So we're talking hundreds of thousands of people, not just the 80,000 homes NES keeps talking about.
Well, and then you have to throw businesses in as well. Did I hear you correctly that you lost power as well?
Yeah, I'm without power. I've been staying at the Embassy Suites downtown in Nashville near Vanderbilt, which we've dubbed Snow Camp. There's dozens of kids. People have brought their dogs because, you know, a lot of hotels don't accept dogs. And I got to tell you, it's been a great experience hanging with half the residents of Belmead in Nashville and hearing great stories of the history of Nashville every morning at breakfast.
So I want to go back to this electric company you guys have. We've got one here in Memphis, and we have the guy in charge has done an amazing job. I mean, it used to be when the wind blew, the power would go out here. We didn't lose power at all during the storm here in Memphis. And one of the reasons why is they went in and the previous administration, they were woke as all get out. They didn't want to do any trimming of the trees. And as a result, you know, the trees collapsed onto the power lines. And it sounds like you guys are dealing with the exact same problem in Nashville now.
Absolutely. And again, because they wouldn't act, first of all, they didn't have sufficient numbers to trim vegetation. They acknowledged last year that they were only at about 25% of what they were supposed to be doing. They fired that guy, but then you had the head of NES, again, the woke CEO. He went on TV a few months ago bragging that they were going to preserve the canopy. Well, they did, but they didn't preserve the energy grid at all, and it is an epic disaster. Plus, again, we've got your tree limbs in the streets. I'm getting ready to post on our Facebook page. I'll share them with you as well. You have major streets in the Vanderbilt area, main thoroughfares, where there's only one lane available because there's tree limbs down, and nobody's, you know, using chainsaws, clearing them off, just putting them on the side so that traffic can at least make its way through. Again, it's a disaster of preparation before the storm, preparation and response on Saturday when they realized how bad it was, and the fact that they're still failing to respond. You'll love this one, Todd. When I started enforcing regulation against illegal immigrants in August, Freddie O'Connell, our Democrat mayor, the Mamdani of the South, immediately set up a working together, taking care of the illegals fund to provide food and assistance and then legal assistance to the illegals. Did it in 24 hours. It took 5 days for this same mayor to declare a need to establish a fund to take care of people who were without power, without food, without water, without resources. So illegals got a 5-day head start from this mayor over legal, honest, decent, taxpaying citizens.
Of course they did. I wish I could say I'm shocked and I'm not surprised. But I think a lot of people, you know, they're hearing the story. They're saying, but it's Nashville, you know, Tennessee's a red state. Is it really that bad? Is it really that liberal and woke in Nashville?
It is in Nashville. That's why we have a metro council that covers the whole county that is overwhelmingly Democrat. We have a Nashville mayor. I don't know. We've had a Republican mayor in Nashville, Davidson County, in decades. The surrounding counties are all dark red. And except for the areas that are covered partially by Nashville Electric Service in Sumner County, that's just north, parts of some of the surrounding counties, all of those counties have had their power restored, no problems, no issues. It's only NES where the Democrat mayor and Democrat leadership appoint the board members of NES. And I talked with a legislator today in Tennessee who is going to explore with hearings after this is over. Can they take over the appointment of the NES board to make sure that the kind of woke ideology that has dominated this disaster doesn't happen again?
Here's what gets me, Steve. this was not a major snowstorm. This was not a major winter event, even by southern standards. I mean, we've had really, really bad, you know, snowstorms, ice storms, and pretty much every year we're getting snow and ice here in the southern states. Was there just no preparation here? What's the problem?
Well, first of all, again, they didn't trim the trees to prevent the collapse onto the power lines, the collapse onto the power poles. Then they only had 300 linemen ready to go when this storm was looming. The other utilities around Nashville with less subscribers had that same number of linemen. Then there's evidence that Nashville and their union reps with the Nashville Electric Service rejected help once the disaster's scope and size was seen from other groups. And Nashville's WZTV, the Fox News outlet here, has the receipts showing that they were turning down assistance, and it took them 4 or 5 days to get their numbers up to about 1,000, which is where they should have been initially to deal with the crisis and the problem. It took the governor, unfortunately, and the mayor 5 days to declare they needed the National Guard to come in and provide some assistance. They're still not providing the level that needs to be done. So everything both before, during, and in the post-initial hours has been a disaster and a fail because of the leadership both at Nashville Electric Service and in the woke Democrat mayor's office.
Mm. Wow. All right. So, and any inclination of when the power could be coming back on?
No. And that's the other problem. They're not being transparent at all about what are the difficulties, what are the timelines. They've not been honest up till now, and we don't expect that to change. I talked to our U.S. Senator, Bill Hagerty. His home is in one of the affected areas. They're telling him it may be next Thursday, if then, before his home gets power. So it's not a matter of the leader getting taken care of. Bell Mead, one of the richest, toniest districts in Nashville, is out of power and in desperate straits right now as well. So it is an equal opportunity epic fail by the Democrat leadership in Nashville. And hopefully taxpayers and voters will remember when Metro Council elections and mayoral elections return. You can't keep going woke and not go broke.
No, boy, you're not kidding. And if you think it's bad there in Mississippi, it's insane. And the reality is no one was prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line. When you've got people trapped on roadways, on highways for days. And by the way, God bless the good citizens of North Mississippi. Many of them listening to KWAM because we understand they've been going and bringing hot meals and food to a lot of the stranded truck drivers. There was one poor girl, she's a student at Rhodes College, stuck in her car and no help was there. There was a nearby church. The mother was able to find out where there was a nearby church. The youth pastor and his wife, they actually walked over, got her out of her vehicle, you know, and brought her to their home and gave her, you know, a good meal and let her sit by the fireplace. Had it not been for the good citizens of North Mississippi, I mean, this would have been an incredible disaster.
Well, and as usual, Todd, we take care of each other much better than government takes care of us. We just have to have the leadership and the call of what needs to be done. Like here in Nashville, we're all the chainsaw-armed Alabama rednecks who ought to be descending on Nashville or some of the other rural counties that are not suffering the same, just to start cutting trees out of people's yards, cutting limbs out of their yards, leaning against their houses. Our governor and our leadership is not calling for help. So I'll issue the call. If you got a chainsaw and a big truck and want to come help, Nashville needs help with guys that are rednecks with chainsaws. We see that with the Cajuns in their John boats during floods and hurricanes. We could use some rednecks with chainsaws in Nashville right now.
Well, I love that, and we've got a lot of rednecks that listen to this program, and I'm sure they all have chainsaws. So
I can almost hear the sound revving up right now. Ring, 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 ring. I can hear it right now, Todd.
The problem is you got a mayor who's a soy boy who's got one of those little tiny Japanese gardens with the miniature trees. That's the problem.
Well, have you noticed how much our mayor looks exactly like that guy in Minneapolis,
Jacob Fry?
No, not the mayor. The guy that got shot, you know, attacked tonight.
Oh, that guy.
Identical to that guy.
Alex Preddy. All right. Steve, all right. Look, enjoy. I hope they give you at least a free breakfast buffet over at the Embassy Suites.
They do, and it's fabulous. So if you're in Nashville, the Embassy Suites next to Chewy's by Vanderbilt is a great place to stay.
Oh, nice. I think we're actually doing our I'm going to be in Nashville next week for the Young Americas Foundation. I'm speaking at their conference, so that may be the hotel we're staying at. So good to know.
All right, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Steve Gill, everybody, publisher of TriStarDaily.com. What a terrible situation there in Nashville. Not getting a lot of attention in the national media. Unless something big happens in, like, New York City or Los Angeles, Chicago, they're all over that weather, but they don't care about the good people in the southern states. That's unfortunate. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. It's Open Line Friday on the Todd Stern Show. All right, this story from New Orleans. Dylan, this is so disgusting. A New Orleans man has been arrested. He pretended to be handicapped in order to have his nanny change his adult diaper.
Wow, what a headline.
It's a lot to fit into a headline. 29-year-old Rutledge Days, also goes by Rory, created multiple social media posts for home health care workers. Deez would specify in the ad that the services would be for his 18-year-old mentally and physically handicapped brother, Corey. Deez would then pose as Corey and pretend to be handicapped while nurses changed his adult diaper. Oh, my. Louisiana State Police say the guy is charged with 10 counts of sexual battery and human trafficking and one count of possession of a Schedule II controlled dangerous substance. Wow. There you go. They anticipate there are more victims.
Golly. I don't even know what to think about that. Like, you have to be in a really bad mindset to really go through all that.
That's true. And then, but I mean, at what point do you figure out, wait a second, something's not right here?
Right. I mean, maybe he was never, you know, maybe he was never potty trained, you know.
Maybe.
And he just kept the diaper on the whole time.
I guess it just depends.
Really just depends.
Let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926, North Carolina, Miss Patty.
I swear. I'm still laughing with the guy with the diaper. Can't take it. You know what? The nuts have taken over the asylum.
It's true. No, it's true.
You can't make any of this crap up. That's a really good one. Okay. I was wondering, I'd like to send Don Lemon a gift, but I don't know if he's in a female jail or a male jail.
I hear he's been trying to take multiple showers and keeps dropping the soap. I don't know what's going on there. It's slippery.
He needs that soap on the rope.
That's it. Soap on a rope.
I can't, you know what? I have never laughed so hard in my life. These people are unhinged. They're nuts. Like that Pretty guy. All right, you see the first video. They finally come out with the first video. They're making him out like he's Mother Teresa. He's not like that. He was kicking and spitting and he was, and then he came back for seconds. And guess what? He got F-A-F-O.
I mean, right, exactly. And we're going to have a conversation with Randy Fine. He got upset with me because I'm calling it a terrible tragedy, which I believe it is. He doesn't think it's a terrible tragedy. He, to your point, he said the guy messed around and he found out. That simple. All right. Miss Patty, good hearing from you. She always brings a smile to my face. The lovely Miss Patty from Statesville, North Carolina. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, so at this hour, tens of thousands of high school students across the nation are just walking out, and they're saying this is spontaneous. Clearly, it is planned, and many of the students are armed with professionally made signs. We've got to find out who is behind this, and these people have to be punished. They've got to be put away. But the idea that all of these kids are just walking out of their classes, I'm looking at video right now out of Asheville, North Carolina, where is that happening in your towns and your communities? Very curious to know if these massive protests are happening at the schools in your town. Welcome back. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us on this Open Line Friday. So yesterday on my Newsmax show, really had a great conversation with our good friend, Congressman Randy Fine out of Florida. Let's take a listen. Congressman, did I just hear him correctly? Was he threatening to permanently put Christine Ohm on ICE? That is a threat, sir.
Well, thanks for having me. Look, I think he was speaking euphemistically, but the problem is crazy people hear that and they behave accordingly. So, no, I mean, that's a euphemism for killing someone. He shouldn't have used that language, but that's the kind of behavior I expect from clown show Jeffries.
You know, Congressman, there's been a lot of concern among the base, the America First conservatives, about just how serious the administration is going to be moving forward on deporting the illegals. And there's been some blowback from some of the more moderate Republicans up on Capitol Hill. And I'm curious to hear from you. What do we need to do here? Do we need to de-escalate? Do we need to pull back? Or should we continue on with the task of deporting everybody here that's here illegally?
I actually think there's a third path, which is we double down and go faster. Look, here's the issue. If we yield on deporting illegal immigrants, which is what people turned out in 2024 about, we had a referendum election on this. And if we yield, because people get weak in the knees, our voters will stay home in November. Because if we're going to govern Democrat light, we might as well have Democrats. So people should feel no shame in rounding up and deporting people who invaded our country, were told to leave, have refused to do so, and are killing and hurting and grifting off Americans. We should do nothing to slow things down. If anything, we should be doing things to speed it up.
Congressman, here's what concerns me about what's happening in Minneapolis. Clearly, this is very well funded. It's very well coordinated. There seems to be command and control. And it tells me that we may very well have some sort of a socialist or communist militia underground in this country that's causing mayhem, because we have seen this in New York City, Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle. I mean, we could just sit here for the next hour naming cities. What say you?
Well, we clearly do. You see the signal chats. You see the behavior, the way these groups are organized and tracking and hunting these people. But what we need to do is be smarter than that. When someone runs up to ICE while they're carrying a gun and gets in their face, we need to not say that's a tragedy. We need to say, if you get in the face of law enforcement, bad things are going to happen to you. I don't understand Republicans who are getting weak in the knees here. These guys are, if we should be mad about anything, it should be, why are these people not being arrested sooner? There's a video of Preddy a week before he was shot, spitting in the face of an ICE agent, kicking the car, breaking the taillight. Why was he not thrown in jail? The question I want to know is, why do we allow these left-wing wackos to act this way? If we cracked down sooner, they wouldn't escalate to the point where they got killed.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right there, Congressman. Absolutely right. And I think I like your effort. We've got to go at it even harder. Meanwhile, you've got the Dems up on Capitol Hill. They're wanting to shut down the government again. How is that playing out? What's the latest there?
Well, we're going to have a shutdown. I mean, that is a certainty. What people need to understand is the only way the government wouldn't be shut down is if all six of these bills were passed, I think it's before Saturday night, whatever day the 31st is, which I think is Saturday night. Anything short of that, there's a shutdown. The question is only how long. And so they're apparently talking about sending the bills, shutting down the government for at least a couple of days, sending the bills back to us, asking us to pass five of the six, and the one involving the Department of Homeland Security basically continuing the status quo for 2 weeks while that gets negotiated. But everyone should know, Democrats are going to shut down the government for a second time because of their fetish with illegal immigrants that they think are more important than American citizens. Last year, it was to try to give them free health care. This year, it's to stop them from being deported. Yeah. I wish Democrats cared 10% as much about Americans as they did about foreigners. We'd be in a much better spot in this country.
Mm. Wow. He just tells it like it is, everybody. Just tells it like it is. Congressman Randy Fine out of Florida. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. I have a question for you. Dylan, I know that you were a kid recently in life, and wintertime, were you one of these kids that ran around without any pants on? You wore shorts during the cold weather months.
I was not one of those kids. I am now, kind of, sometimes, but no, I wore pants.
So the Today Show, all over the story, that middle schoolers are apparently not bothered by freezing weather. And a lot of kids, especially boys in middle school, are deciding to wear shorts no matter how cold it is outside. And it created a big topic of conversation on the Today Show. Why is it that middle schoolers wear shorts even in the bitter cold? Now, there are doctors who are saying that, Dr. Elaine Schult, who is with the Cleveland Clinic Children's Hospital, says that parents need to take a hard line on this issue. She thinks parents should make children wear pants in cold weather, despite protest, at least until their teen years. And she says it's a safety issue. However, a parenting expert, her name is Deborah Gilboa, said that some children, especially boys, actually feel warmer because of testosterone. Testosterone keeps their bodies warmer. The body hair keeps them warmer. But boys may have other reasons for sporting shorts, noting that it's for attention. Okay, well, I guess so. I've never really thought about it much, but I have wondered, you know, now that you think about it, there are, you know, a lot of young kids, and they just like to go outside and play in the snow in shorts.
Yeah, I think people are overthinking this a little bit. There's just some guys and boys, I guess, that really are not bothered by the cold weather. And it's just, I've known many people to wear shorts just like 20 degrees outside. And I've always thought that they were a little crazy because I would never, but their bodies are just built different. They're just different.
So I'm curious, is this an issue for you moms, dads? Do you have, and again, it's, I mean, when I was a kid, if mom said, hey, go put on some pants, well, you go put on some pants. I'm not quite sure what the issue here is.
Yeah, the word protest in that story is kind of crazy. The 12-year-old's protesting pants.
Mom, come on, Mom. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Folks, I've got to tell you about our good friend Mike Lindell. You know, we have our own exclusive page on the MyPillow.com website. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Promo code Starnes, and you're going to unlock some incredible savings on top of some already great deals. MyPillow mattresses, you're going to be able to get a huge, huge discount. By the way, you're also going to be able to get those beautiful Giza Dream bed sheets, $29.98. Also, the MyPillows, the premium MyPillows, you're going to save over 50% on MyPillow.com/Starnes. My slippers, I love my slippers. Those things are so comfortable, and for some reason, my floors are always so cold. So I love my slippers, $39.98 with my promo code Starnes. By the way, are you tired? Dylan, I know you're a little, you know, it's wintertime, you're sluggish.
Yes, I'm tired.
Well, Mike has a brand new energy drink. It's the anti-tired drink. No caffeine, no sugar, but it fuels your body and your mind. It's called Rev 7. You're going to be able to get a case of that stuff for $19.98. That's a pretty good deal. And also, Easter right around the corner. Mike Lindell has created a beautiful cross necklace. You're going to be able to save $80 on the beautiful My Cross necklace for men and women. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And you'll see they actually wrote in the promo code for you, Starnes. You don't even have to do anything. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Or you can call them right now, 1-800-544-8939. That's 800-544-8939. Be sure to use promo code Starnes. Well, this is some sad news. Catherine O'Hara has died. She was a Canadian comedian, best known for her roles in Home Alone and Beetlejuice, also Schitt's Creek. I've seen all of those. I didn't realize she was in Beetlejuice. I didn't realize that was Macaulay Culkin's mother, right? She played the mom in Home Alone.
Yep. She's really funny in Schitt's Creek, too. One of the best characters in that show.
She's only 71 years old. She's sort of young.
Yep.
They say she died after a brief illness. She started in the... back in the day, there was a great comedy troupe called Second City, which eventually gave rise to SCTV. And she was known for doing great impersonations of like people like Lucille Ball, Maggie Smith, who just died, Maggie Smith of Downton Abbey fame. She began appearing in films with Martin Scorsese back in the day. She has quite a remarkable career. Leaves behind a husband, two sons, along with various family members. Wow, what a shame. She played Kate McAllister in both of the movies. So anyway, our thoughts and prayers are with the family. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Our good friend Murph in Germantown. Hi, Murph. What's going on?
Dr. Starnes, always a pleasure. An observation, please, sir. The news, I think it was the past week or so, the distinguished senator from the state of Minnesota, Mrs. Klobuchar, has announced that she is going to run for the governorship of that great state of Minnesota. And a gentleman remarked the other day that she's been in the Senate almost 20 years, 20 plus. We are now $38 trillion in debt. Everyone listening to this podcast or this radio station owes Uncle Sam 100 plus grand, especially grandkids. Now, why in the world would the citizens of the state of Minnesota, if they have an IQ over 10, put such a legislator in the high office of that state?
Well,
another observation. Mrs. Blackburn.
It's a great question.
Yes, Mrs. Blackburn is seeking the governorship. And I thank the world of her. And she has been in Congress 18 years. And we are $38 trillion in debt. Are these distinguished legislators duly elected by the citizenry part of the solution or part of the problem? Food for thought.
Well, it's a great point you raised there, Murph. By the way, a little inside baseball here. It turns out that, of course, Waltz is not running for re-election. Klobuchar is going to run, and there is scuttlebutt that she may appoint him to be the senator. So he would complete her term, and Tim Waltz would go to the U.S. Senate. Could you believe that?
You would think sooner or later, if you keep putting your hand in the fire, it's going to get burned. So, I don't know.
Look,
take care, my friend.
You've given us a lot to think about, Murph, and good hearing from you, and stay safe out there in Germantown, Tennessee. Murph's a neighbor, so we like old Murph. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Where is this story I'm searching for? Oh, yes, Brandon Gill, the congressman from Texas. 80% of Somalians in Minnesota are on welfare. 80%. Take a listen to this.
The reality is these Somalis are not assimilating into American culture. And you can see that on the welfare statistics that I was citing. It's over 80% of Somalis in the United States, or in Minnesota, excuse me, are on welfare. That is substantially higher than for native-born American citizens, which is a whole lot lower. But the most damning fact, I think, is that even after being in the United States for 10 years or longer, the percentage of Somalis in Minnesota who are on welfare is 78%. In other words, they're not coming here to live the American dream. They're not coming here to be productive members of society. They're coming here to get free stuff, and they're getting free stuff from Democrats who are trying to use that to buy off their votes.
Yeah, mooching off of Americans. That's what they're doing here, and that's why we've just got to put a stomp to it. Can we circle back to Don Lemon for just one moment? He went on a podcast the other day, and after storming into that church and attacking church members and just being a horrible human being, he goes on this podcast to attack the mostly white, I think it may have been all white, congregation, cut number 17.
And there's a certain degree of entitlement. I think people who are, you know, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that entitlement comes from a white supremacy. And they think that this country was built for them, that it is a Christian country, when actually we left England because we wanted religious freedom. It's religious freedom, but only if you're a Christian and only if you're a white male, pretty much. And so, yeah, I absolutely 100%, but it's an intimidation tactic. And, you know, I said, I don't understand how I've become the face of it when I was a journalist. I do understand that I'm the biggest name there. And I'm also, as I was on with my producers this morning, you know, you and Kylie talk all the time. My producers were saying, I said, how did I become the face of this? And my producer said, Don, you're a gay black man in America.
Yeah, that's not why. You're just a jackass. That's the reason why, Don. And now, you're a jackass facing felony charges. Good luck with that. We shall hopefully see a perp walk and a mugshot by the end of the day. Also, we're waiting for the official charges to be unveiled, and you're going to want to listen to your local news radio station for all of that information. By the way, this weekend, you know, Valentine's Day is just right around the corner, and I want to encourage you to check something out. Angel Studios, what a wonderful, wonderful film studio. I happen to be a member of their Angel Guild. I'm a premium member of their Angel Guild, and I love it. And one of the reasons I love it is they are churning out some really great movies, including one for Valentine's Day called Solo Mio. It's filmed in beautiful Italy. It's hilarious. It's a rom-com with our good buddy Kevin James. Remember him from King of Queens? You're going to love this film, and you're going to be able to get two free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. That's when it opens. You'll be able to take your spouse, your sweetheart, or your whole family, because it's a great family-friendly film. And I want you to go and check out Angel Guild. One of the cool things about being a member, you get to vote on the movies that they end up producing. So I got to vote. It's pretty cool. So if you want to get more information, go check them out. You'll be able to see a lot of the movies they do. Homeland, one of them. Angel.com/Starnes.com. That's angel.com/Starnes.com. Go check them out. You're going to love it. All right, we got to wrap it up. I will see you at 5 o'clock on Newsmax Monday, right back here behind the big, beautiful microphone. In the meantime, you folks get out there. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.